You got your drinks, Elsa?
Yeah.
Alright.
And we have a podcast.
Do we?
Buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna. And you know what? Fuck you, motherfucker. We're going to be perky as fuck this goddamn episode. You know what? I spent the entire weekend moving. My body woke up this morning in absolute agony. And I was like, well, fuck me. I'm just going to make the best of it. Because we did a podcast last week and Salsa was like, look, the positive thing or whatever. And how do you put a positive spin on it? So, fuck you. We're going to be perky. Or at least I am. What are you drinking?
This is me perky. You should see me when I'm depressed. I'm drinking.
If this is the happiness hotel. I need to see the sad one.
I'm drinking scotch. I'm drinking Balachin. The Discovery series.
Balachin.
Number 7, the Bordeaux casks, heavily peated Highland single malt scotch whiskey.
Nice. Nice.
I'm calling it Balchin.
Balchin.
Belching.
Oh.
That wasn't my best belch.
Jenna?
What are you drinking, James?
Go for it.
Awkward. Shit. Did you want to get through here? Like, what, only one of us can go through the doorway at a time.
You know, one of you has to go, and I choose Jennifer.
Oh. Well, you heard the man.
Yeah, I sure as fuck did. I'm going to go. So,
sure, just ignore me like that.
The only thing I have in my apartment right now, which is iced tea, but it's Gold Peak raspberry iced tea. It's my absolute favorite. If anybody ever wants to give me Gold Peak raspberry iced tea. They rebranded. It's California Raspberry now. I don't care. It's the same thing. It's delicious. So I'm drinking that and Sailor Jerry because that's all I have in the house. I should have thought about food. Awkward. Whatever. I have booze. It's fine. So yeah, that's what I'm drinking. And it's all right.
James?
So Anna Levine, friend of the podcast.
Yes.
And Drew Zestera. Stopped by my place to drop off a t-shirt that they felt I needed to have.
Okay.
And I will model it on future evenings.
Sure.
Because I was doing dusty work. I didn't want to, you know, wear a nice new t-shirt.
All of our listeners are very sad they can't see the t-shirt right now.
Correct. Yeah. They will, though.
Okay.
They also dropped off a couple bottles of what appear to be home-brewed cider and beer. And so I drank the beer, which was a mocha... What was it? Mocha cocoa bullshit... stout, I think, was the full title, and it
was it made with real bullshit?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I figure they're not the kind to, you know, to
they're not going to bullshit you on that,
right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they never half-ass anything. They're both assholes. We know that. They whole ass one thing. What they dropped off that I'm drinking tonight is a blueberry cider that they bottled, and I'm very excited about. But I've already had the beer, and it was delicious. So I'm very much looking forward to this. So here we go.
Yes. More noises, James.
I feel like, well, number one, that's really tasty.
Okay.
That's a noise.
Number two, that is fucking amazing. It's dry and dark, but it has that like crisp cider finish to it. It's fantastic. I might see if I could ply them with money.
I'm sure they will not turn down your money.
Things. Maybe. I don't know. Hmm. You know, just something to wet the inside of a mug. Ooh, that's what I should do. I should pour that into my Levine leather mug. And enjoy it that way.
I mean, yes.
Yeah. I'll do that on a break, if there's anything left. So, that's what I'm drinking.
Cheers.
All right.
Hey, Salsa, what have you been up to?
I made the most amazing Christmas purchase the other day. Well, I actually made the purchase a while back, but I finally received the purchase. It's the best thing on the planet.
Good.
Here's
good
the story. Then. Here's the story. Years ago, my wife has a leather mug. Ready. It's by Mac. It's a Mac mug. Okay. For those that do not know what this means, there used to be a mug maker out at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, Mac, and his mugs were the best of the best. He developed a new system for sealing them, which left them soft and supple, but still didn't leak, which was something that people had been trying to crack for a while. You know, you get other leather mugs, they would either have a wax layer on the inside or pitch or something like that, and it wasn't great. But he figured out a way to seal these mugs in a way that was, you know, fantastic. He had these, and they were gorgeous, just absolutely gorgeous. But anyway, my wife has this Mac mug. Final day of the Renaissance Festival years ago, during the closing ceremonies, she has the mug backstage, and it disappears. Can't find it. I mean, like, the troops were sent out. Nobody could find it. It disappeared. Flash forward to about a month ago or so, and there's another leather maker out at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival by the name of Alanda. And Alanda had his own personal collection of Mac mugs that he had collected over the years that he was looking to sell. And so he put them in a thrift store an hour from the cities, like towards St. Cloud area. A friend of ours, Tracy, sees this post. She has been wanting a Mac mug for her entire Renaissance Festival career, but Mac, by the way, don't know if I mentioned at the beginning, Mac passed away, Mac died. There is no more Mac anymore. There are no more Mac mugs being made. If you don't already have one, you don't get one. She's wanted one for years, and so suddenly Alanda is selling his own personal collection of Mac mugs, and she's like, oh my god, I've always wanted one, but it's like, we're in a blizzard, and it's an hour away, and we're in a pandemic, and this isn't something that I could just do. But she posts this on Facebook, and I see this post, and I see in the picture, in the collection, there is a mug of the same design as the one that my wife lost years ago. And I'm like, oh my god, that would be a great present to get her another Mac mug in that same design. So we're like, you know, there's a lot of furious typing, you know, just like, is there any way that we can find somebody to give you a ride up on Saturday? They open at 9, so if we leave here at like 7:30, we can be there right when the doors open and make sure we get it before somebody else snatches it up, you know, all this other stuff. And then somebody mentions that maybe you can call and like reserve it, and Tracy's like, I'm at work right now, so I'll call him after work. And I'm like, I don't know if we can wait that long. So I message Tracy, and I'm like, look, I want a mug too. I'm going to try to call him. We'll see what happens. I call the thrift store. The thrift store is like, okay, we'll call you back. Like an hour later, they called me back, which was just the longest hour of my life. And they're like, yes, we have both of those mugs. And I'm like, I would like to buy both of those mugs. both the one for my wife and the one for Tracy. I will buy both. Right. Tracy will pay me back. In the meantime, while I am doing this, another person is like on Tracy's Facebook thread, like, I live in that area. I could go get them. And we're like, cool. So this is what we're going to do. I am going to buy them over the phone. This third person is going to physically go get them from the store, deliver them to Tracy. Tracy will pay me back, and I will get my mug. Mm-hmm. It's a little complicated at this point, but that's what's going on. So, finally, this last weekend...
We just have to remember which card has the lady.
Right. So, this last weekend, the friend is, you know, visiting the Twin Cities, drops the mug off with Tracy. Tracy brings mm-hmm. me the mug for my wife. My wife already knows it's coming because I talked about it with her while this whole thing was going down, just to kind of make sure that she wanted it. Mm-hmm. And so she knew it was coming, so I didn't feel like I had to hide it from her until Christmas or anything.
Right.
It's a Christmas present, but you know it's coming. So so I get the bag, and I bring it inside, and I hand the bag to my wife, and I say, Merry Christmas. And she pulls the mug out, and, you know, there it is. It's the exact... same design as the mug that she lost, and she turns it over and looks at the handle, and she goes, "Fuck," and I go, "Shit, what? What's wrong?" She goes, "This is my mug."
Hmm.
Now, this is the other thing I didn't mention about these mugs. Every mug has a number. Every single mug that Mac made has a serial number on it. This was her mug. Not the same design. The mug.
The mug. She looks at the handle and it has the serial number on it.
20008. Yep, she's like, I remember it. 20008. That's my mug number. This is 20008. Mm-hmm. This is my mug. Somehow, in the intervening 9 years or whatever it is, that mug somehow made its way to Alanda's personal collection, and Alanda decided to sell it, and I happened to see the post that Tracy made because she wanted a mug, and this confluence of events, my wife got her mug back, her Mac mug.
So basically, you were never going to win at Christmas again. Like, this is just it.
And that that wasn't even the big present that I got her this year.
Okay.
That was like a throw. I also bought her a sewing machine. Like,
let's clarify. Salsa for Christmas got his wife a mug she already paid for.
That's really funny.
Yeah, no, I got her what she already owned. No, it was, but that was one of those moments where, like, and I left the room and I came back and she was like examining it, like running her fingers over it, like remembering. She's like all of these scratches and bumps and dings on the outside. She's like, I remember these, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
aww.
Yeah, it was. She was crying and overwhelmed, and it was adorable. And I was like, I am the luckiest son of a bitch on the planet right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what I did. I won
for me, it's like the best story ever. The best way of showing what makes success. And people are like, you know, how do you always get things done, or how do you do whatever? And we have in our minds this idea of like, well, if you work hard at it, it happens. And that's not true. Sometimes, most of the time, it takes hard work and luck. And so the point of what I'm saying is that, yes, Salsa, you lucked out, but you also did the hard work of obtaining that mug.
I talked to someone on the phone.
I know.
Okay.
Gross.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. No,
more than
it.
Once.
So sorry. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how much this meant to me, to get this mug bought.
Yeah.
So.
So, like, you put in the effort, but there was also luck involved.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, that to me is, like, the finest example of, like, you know, people are like, oh, you deserve this thing because you worked hard. And it's like, well, yeah, but people work hard all the time, and they don't always get so lucky.
Yeah.
Right.
And you got that beautiful combination. But if you hadn't worked hard, you wouldn't have gotten lucky. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, well done.
The harder you work, the more likely it is that you will give yourself the opportunity for luck.
Maybe. The problem is saying it like that can leave room for interpretation that you just have to work hard enough to get the luck that you need. And that's not true.
Well, that's gross.
Sometimes luck just fucking happens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There or is no way
no matter
that
Salsa
could have made more of an opportunity for this to happen. Right?
Correct.
Yeah. So, whatever. Anyway.
I also did more wood turning, but, you know, that seems to be a thing now.
Oh my god, those, are they butter knives? Are they cheese spreaders? What the fuck are those? They're gorgeous.
It's a butter knife I made with the black walnut and resin. It's black walnut and red resin, and it turned out real pretty, and I'm very, very pleased with how it turned out. Nobody's bought it yet, so...
But the problem is that I want like a set of 8 in butter knife forks and spoons.
Sure,
is what I want.
Like,
definitely see that.
I've also been putting out a bunch of crochet hooks. I've got a variety of sized crochet hooks now, out there. So, yeah, I think I finally got my bottle stopper mandrel in the mail, so I'll knock out a few bottle stoppers here in the next few days and weeks. I have the black walnut and red resin that I made the butter knife handle out of. I've also got 4 blanks for bottle stoppers. And when I was at the store, the wood store, to pick up something else, I found little Purple Heart bottle stopper blanks for like $2 each. So I was like, oh, I gotta have those. So I got a couple Purple Heart bottle stopper blanks. So between the black walnut and resin and the Purple Heart, I'll probably have some bottle stoppers coming out here soonish. Having a good time with it. Still having fun. You know.
Yay. Good.
It's a nice zen thing. You know, just getting out there and you got the lathe spinning, you get chisels, and you're slowly shaping the thing down, you know. Because you can't go fast. You know, if you go fast, that's how you break things. So you just got to slowly, like, turn the large chunk of whatever it is and slowly slim it down into the shape you want. It's very, very relaxing and zen. I dig
it. Nice.
And then a fuck ton of sanding.
See, that's the part I couldn't do. Sanding, like, is, like, it's reminiscent of, like, nails on a chalkboard type thing for some people.
Sure, no, that makes sense. It does, it makes it the job 10 times easier when you can sand on the lathe. Because then instead of having to, you know, back and forth, you just hold the pad and move it gently back and forth, and the lathe does all the moving for you. It makes the sanding go a lot faster, but still, woodworking is, you know, 10% woodworking and 90% sanding.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
Yeah.
What about other people? Jenna, you moved, didn't you?
I did. I was actually going to ask if James wanted to go because I'm going to keep talking until there's, like, I'm out of time, so James should go.
Sure. I have upgraded to knitting in the round, as you may have noticed.
Was that like theater in the round?
I'm knitting arm warmers. Very much so, in that you have to pay attention to every side all at once, and there's a lot. It's an entirely different animal. I also used the hammer drill and masonry bit to drill holes in the concrete for the threshold. It drilled a hole in the concrete, and then the masonry bit gave up, which may be my misuse of the product as advertised. I guess I'll find out.
That would be my guess. Those things are made to be, you know, used and abused.
Seemingly cheap masonry bit. It drilled the first one with no problems at all, and then the next one was just not.
I mean, it is entirely possible you hit a chunk of rock or something like that.
The other thing that I've... Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can see it behind me. I have set up my tiny Christmas here on the table directly, which is it's a tree about a foot tall, decorated with little battery-operated lights and ornaments that I've collected over the years, but also a few ornaments that I've made very recently, like this cheerful little fellow.
You do know that we're on an audio podcast, James, right?
Yeah. Right. I'm showing the audience.
Yes, you know this is an audio podcast, right,
James? That's not how these things... Oh,
correct.
Never mind.
So I took large for necklaces and things like that, and then put them on little pins with extra baubles at either side, and then put a little ornament hook made out of wire at the top so that it appears to be a correctly sized ornament for the size tree that I have.
Which is tiny.
It is, yeah.
Which is tiny.
Which makes it adorable, right?
Yeah.
Tiny things are adorable. I learned this from James.
Well, it's adorable it makes it look like it's a regular tree, but very far away.
I suppose it's all a matter of perspective. I hate myself.
Nice.
Really.
So this is what's happening now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Welcome to 2020.
And then I'm about to pick up cross-stitch.
Ooh.
Yes. I'm very excited about that.
Could never get into cross stitch. I tried really, really hard to get into cross stitch. I just it never took with me. I got bored with it too quickly.
I am looking forward to putting absolutely filthy things in extremely decorative fonts.
Mm-hmm. Like,
it seems likely.
Loam and clay.
Right, just like that.
Okay.
Mm.
So there's that. Yeah. And just kind of getting real fucking artsy.
Real fucking artsy is the way to be right about now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jenna.
So Jenna.
Wow. That's it, huh? All right. Hey, guess what, you guys?
Lame.
Guess what happened over the weekend?
Chicken butt. Oh, yeah.
Joe proposed.
No.
The Bears lost.
Oh. We are a long ways away from that. Like, I love him very, very much. And one of the things that I love about him is that we're both on the same page as to whether or not that's happening anytime soon.
And the answer is no.
No. Yeah. So anyway, in fact, kind of the opposite of that happened, in which
you moved out.
I got the fuck out of his place. I've been more or less staying with him for the past couple of months while I've been trying to figure out the housing situation. And over the weekend, I moved. Actually, to be more accurate, over the weekend, a bunch of guys that Joe hired moved me. Yeah, so...
And they're professionals.
Right, exactly. They came in under the estimated time, which was great.
Good.
They packed all of my dishes. They moved my cast iron.
Wow.
Yeah, right? Like, all I had to do was stand there and point at places, and they just put things down.
Were they a bunch of muscle-bound lads?
They were dudes moving my furniture. They weren't like... I mean, nobody was like, you know, Jason Momoa or anything like that, but they weren't ugly either. I have a hard time objectifying people that are helping me. I guess.
Yeah, do you have a calendar?
That is a fantastic sentence.
We were in the middle of a job. We're trying to get things done. I don't have time to objectify while I'm working on shit. Anyway. But yeah, there were three very nice kids. And yeah, they came in, they got stuff done. At one point, like, so they had like one guy upstairs, finishing up my bedroom stuff, cause they have wardrobe boxes. And so like, they just take everything in your closet and hang it on this wardrobe box. And then when they get to the new place, they take it and they just hang it back up. Like, it's beautiful. And so, like, there's one guy upstairs, one guy in the living room packing up the stuff that was too heavy, and one guy in the kitchen. And I went outside and had a cigarette, because fuck it. Like, I kept wanting to help with things, and my job in that situation is to not help with things, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I'm going to go outside then. So I come back in, and, like, all three of them had finished the various bits, and we're in the kitchen. And one of the guys looks at me and he goes, so do you actually have to put quarters into this washing machine to make it go? And I was like, yep. And he's like, do you get them back? And I was like, nope. And he was like, that's weird. And I'm like, yeah, that's one of many reasons why I'm moving out of this place. He's like, didn't they have anywhere better to put it than the middle of the kitchen? And I was like, not really, no. He's like, no basement? I'm like, no, there is no basement. He's like, oh, that's still weird. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
It is rather weird not having a basement here in Minnesota.
Well, I mean, it was built in 1886, and my guess is that that building was for, like, putting up people working on railroad stuff or whatever.
Sure. No, I understand it. It's still weird.
But yeah, it's not a common practice. They moved all of my stuff. They dropped half of it off at Joe's in his basement. Not half, but like a chunk. All of my storage stuff. Like Christmas decorations that I'm not getting up this year because fuck it. And you know, my camping stuff, cause I'm not camping right. Like anyway, a bunch of my stuff went to Joe's basement to be stored. And then, and they were great with that. Like they got that done inside of 15 minutes. And then they got everything over here and it was great. And somehow, in amongst all of that standing and pointing, my body was still sore. So I'm really glad that I wasn't doing any of the actual lifting on that. So yeah, I got all of my furniture moved in Saturday. I still spent the night at Joe's on Saturday because I wanted to wash all of my linens, mm-hmm. all of the blankets, all of the throw pillows, all of the everything. You guys see this blanket? I can show off where the listeners can't see too. Yeah. Yeah, it's clean. It's clean and it smells faintly of lavender.
They're going to be sad that they missed all of that.
I know, right? But yeah, I got all of my linens done on Sunday, so I spent the night last night, and then I woke up this morning in my new place.
Woo!
And I got up before the sunrise was supposed to happen, which isn't nearly as early as it sounds because, you know, we're sneaking up on the longest night
exactly,
of the year.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like 10 a.m. You wake up before the sun.
Right. 7:30. I was up at 7:30 and the sunrise was supposed to happen about 7:35. Okay. Got up, I made coffee, and I
sunrise.
Right. I go upstairs to my rooftop lounge. Ooh. So I can see the sunrise over uptown Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And it's overcast. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I was going to rush the sunrise with a cup of coffee and it was going to be so goddamn picturesque and early morning beautiful. And it was still a pretty nice view, but it just, not that sunrise. It was a little sad.
Goes to show.
Yep.
Do you mind if I ask, has your daughter already moved into her new place, or where is she? She couch surfing, or
we paid rent through the end of the year.
Oh, okay. So she's
current
still there.
Place.
Okay.
So she's still there.
Okay.
And in fact, I still have certain things. She and I still have certain things that we're kind of going through.
Gotcha.
As she's figuring it out. So I'm still coming back here, and I expect to be coming back here like every day for the next week or two with more stuff.
Gotcha.
I don't have a lot of cleaning supplies over here because we're going to be using all of that on the other residents.
Right.
Jeez. You know?
I have like dish soap and a sponge. Mm-hmm. I have hand soap. I have my toiletries, but like I don't, and I have a thing of bleach wipes, but I don't have like all-purpose cleaner or bleach or any of my other 18 million cleaning products I normally have. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But my apartment was clean when I moved into it, and we're going to need all of that for cleaning the other place.
Right. So. Much sooner rather than later.
Ridiculously happy for you, and I really hope that, you know, unexpected problems do never arise.
Oh my god.
I hope that your neighbors are good people who don't stink up the hallways with pot smoke smell. And
honestly, this is the first place I've been at where I haven't just smelled pot.
Are you going to be able to sleep at night?
I don't know, actually. It's a little weird. Like, there haven't been signs outside my window.
I hope your upstairs neighbors don't have loud sex, you know, every night. You know, things like that.
Well, I mean, I kind of hope they do for their sake. But I hope they do, but I don't hear it.
I like the way you think.
Yeah. You know what? Loud sex for everybody. Fuck it. I just don't want to hear you having loud sex. Yeah.
Literally.
Loud sex for everyone. And I think with that, we'll take a break.
God bless us, everyone. What?
All right. We're going to take a break. Go have some loud sex. And in the meantime, we'll get ready for the next segment. We'll be right back.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Do it. Do it now. Let's go.
I mean, you gonna buy me dinner first?
Mm-mm.
Alright, well, I guess we should buckle up for this sex, then. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast. I'm back.
Wait, are we reintroducing?
Yeah, we're whatever.
I like it.
I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna. Perky, okay. You guys. Perky. I said perky, goddammit.
Oh, I'm perky, just below camera level. Okay.
Oh my god, that is a monkey's paw. Be careful what you wish for.
No, it's literally a monkey's paw. Salsa, you're supposed to have a penis. You should get that checked.
It's really perky.
Oh god.
It's a perky paw.
Every time he makes a wish, he loses one of his 5 erections.
It's a perky paw. Anyway.
Oh god. Give us a topic. Jesus Christ.
So here's the thing. I, as you may or may not be aware of, like hockey.
Yeah.
And as such...
Never heard of it.
As such, I have liked various Facebook pages for hockey organizations, such as the Minnesota Wild, the Minnesota Magicians, and et al. And I gotta tell you that don't read the comments really applies here. Because I just... Okay, so it's gotten especially bad since the whole COVID thing. Because, like, sports are shut down right now. Like, the hockey season should have started months ago, and it's not going to, like, the NHL isn't going to start playing games until January or something like that, once all of the players have quarantined themselves for various periods, blah blah. You know, it's you know, and that has just made the Facebook comments go crazy about the fake hoax pandemic and you know, caving to the liberals and stuff like that. But even beyond that, just like even before that, it always confused me, because like this was the Facebook group for the team. One would think that you would have fans like of the team on there, and like no matter what they would say, there would be people just being assholes. You know, about, you know, the shitty players, and there's no point because we're going to lose anyway because we're a shitty team, and blah, blah, blah. And it's just kind of like, why are you here? Like, I genuinely don't understand. If you think that they're such a terrible team, why are you here?
Right.
And it just... And I got to thinking about this particularly today because of some of the just gross things that people were saying about, you know, the whole pandemic lockdown, you know, bring back hockey because I want to watch hockey and it's a fake pandemic and it's a liberal plot to take government away from Trump, and that's the only reason we don't have sports right now or something. I don't fucking know. And I was just like, and the comment section is just full of this stuff. It's not like an isolated incident. It's like the 90% of the feed is like, why aren't we playing sports already? Let's do this. And I'm just sitting there going, because it's not safe? Maybe?
Right.
And then I'm just like, I feel shitty because here I feel like I'm associated with this fandom, and this fandom is full of apparently really shitty people. And I just, that toxic fandom, like, being in the same group of people that have these terrible people in it, it made me feel bad for liking hockey.
Sure.
And it just made me upset.
Yeah.
You know? And various other things like Star Wars. You know, you can't say anything about Star Wars without people getting all up in Rose Tico and Jar Jar and God knows what. It's just like, why are you here? Like, stop being gross, you know, mouth breathing basement dwellers, and stop being such a douche about. Like, we're all fans here.
Or, like,
so I
insisting that their specific viewpoint is the one true viewpoint,
right,
and everybody else with all the other shit. Like, yeah, as a Christian, I have no idea what's like.
Oh, sure. That, now, that is a
to
toxic
have
fandom right
people
there.
In your fandom.
Oh, yeah.
I've had this problem with various groups I've associated with throughout the course of my life, really. And I think, number one, I've really just come to the conclusion that there are shitty people everywhere.
Which is depressing on a whole other level.
It is, but, like, I don't know. Like, okay, so a part of what I try to do, and I'm not going to say I'm successful all the time. I'm not even going to say I'm successful most of the time. I'm going to say I might be successful some of the time. But one of the things that I really try to do is understand where the other person is coming from, right? Or try to apply some kind of innocent reason for why this person is behaving the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
Always starting with the, it's not personal, right? They're not personally against me. They're not attacking Jenna Young. They're not, you know. And honestly, like, if it is, and here we get into toxic fandom as it relates to, like, women or minorities of basically any type, but the one I see the most is women because I tend to participate in very stereotypically masculine fandoms.
Sure.
Right. And yeah, like, even then, even when somebody says something disparaging, it's not about me as a person. It's not about me as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very shitty perspective to have, but that shitty perspective comes from somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a peer pressure thing, or I don't know, maybe some chick did do something horrible to this one guy one time. It's usually not that, but could be that. That's a thing that happens. It could be that, like, honestly, the way our thought patterns happen is not nearly as controlled and individualistic as we like to think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you are in a group of people that are saying the same thing over and over again, eventually your brain's going to be like, well, what if they're right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or whatever. Or if you're starting as a blank slate, you're going to grab onto that right away because...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, somebody's telling me a thing that sounds logical. Sure,
sure,
go for
it.
Even if it isn't. So yeah, and like I said, I'm not always very good at it. I'm not often good at it, but and it's especially hard when somebody. Yeah, I'm just getting more and more accurate. But, like, it's especially hard when somebody's attacking something that you attach your identity to. And I think there's a lot of people that want the world to be black and white. It's either this or this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you guys noticed this, but people are complex.
What?
Mm-hmm. The fact that I'm both bisexual and a Christian blows the fuck out of some people's minds. They're like, what? Just like that. That's a direct quote.
You don't exist.
I mean, bisexuals don't exist. Mm. We're all alive.
Yep.
It's just a phase, I've heard.
Mm-hmm, exactly. But yeah, like, it's really hard for people to consolidate. I don't think that's the word I want, but it's the word I'm going to go with. Consolidate the ideas that somebody can be of various identities that seem to juxtapose one another, depending on which loud asshole you've been talking to.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got rambly and off topic. I've been drinking and I have no brain.
No, that's okay. I think I kind of know where what direction you're going with that, but I just...
What if, Salsa, what if you're the toxic one?
Oh, I mean, that's entirely possible. I do not have the ego to think that I am the end-all be-all. Could I be the toxic one? I suppose that's possible. I am trying to better myself, but who knows? I don't believe I am.
Right.
But...
Do toxic people think that they're not toxic?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Also, 100%. If they're non-toxic, are they markers?
No, they're edible deodorant.
Oh, okay, cool.
Like, just like, I was in a whole bunch of fire performance Facebook groups for a long time. And I just had to mute all of them. Just for the bullshit that was going on. And it was just like, I don't want to associate with any of you. Like, I don't want to be associated with any of you. You know, right. It's just... Like, the fact that we have something in common makes me feel gross. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and I think some of that gross feeling can come from that idea that if you have an interest in something... If other people have an interest in that thing, then they're of like mind. And that's just not how people work.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a hard call to make, whether we would want them right. to be that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, like, there are certain things that I'm just like, that's a hard nope for me. Like, Nazis. Pretty much a hard nope.
Yeah.
Gonna go with no on that.
Mm-hmm.
Prosperity Christianity?
Ugh.
Fuck that bullshit. No.
What is? Can you tell me more about what prosperity Christianity is? Is that the like televangelist? Send us your money as a seed, and it will.
Yeah, grow. God will bless you.
Yeah,
with
pray
riches,
for wealth.
Blah, blah, blah.
Basically, it's yep. the weirdest. It is the weirdest. Like one of the seven deadly sins is greed. But the prosperity gospel is somehow
right.
about
Fine.
One, about
yeah.
getting more, and I don't understand. Like there is some serious cognitive dissonance happening there that I
Whoa,
just
yeah.
can't wrap my head around at all. But there here
right.
we are.
Yeah. So I mean, yes, there are things that are a hard no for me because the basis of that idea is mm-hmm. fucked up. But that's much more about the basis of the idea than the individuals that participate in it.
Sure, yeah. No,
sure,
right.
You know. I also hate going to Star Wars forums. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I just...
Oh, they're horrifying.
Just all of the... Again, and going back to toxic fandom, you know, just all of the gatekeeperisms... And mm-hmm. all of the, you know, trivia experts who, if you don't know the same granular detail of trivia that they do, then you're not a true fan, or, you know, those, that
I think,
bullshit. And I just,
yeah.
it really frustrates me to be into something and to want to express that and just get shot down. And derided by the people who ostensibly share the same, you know, share the same interests. And then on the flip side, going back to like the sports thing, the people who ostensibly are fans of the same team spending all of their time talking about how shit the team is. Like, I don't understand. same with the Star Wars fans who spend all of their time talking about how shit Star Wars is. I don't.
Right.
Why are you here?
Well, I liked that one movie. Therefore, everything should conform to what I want.
Yeah.
Right.
I liked that one game. Therefore, everything should conform to that. I had another point come across my brain, but of course I lost it.
And people wonder why I hate people.
Oh, I don't wonder. It makes me a little sad, possibly even disappointed. But I don't wonder at it. God.
I don't know.
I had a point. God damn it. I'm really cranky. It keeps, like, it's almost there, and then it goes away. And I'm like, I may have been pushing myself too hard the past few days.
Do you have thoughts, wisdom, James?
They don't have to be the same thing,
no,
by the way.
No.
Right. Encountered this pretty early on being a fan of anime. And going to anime conventions, there are a lot of extremely toxic people.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of toxic ideas and a lot of just bullshit in general. And we saw it resurface with the interest in the Final Fantasy VII remake, which people have been calling for
forever.
Yeah, since the game came out and since the system that the game was on was succeeded by the next thing, by a PS2.
Right.
You know, people were like, they need to remake this game because it would look so amazing. Since then, and people have just been so shitty about really the absolutely dumbest things. Like, you reduced how big this character's boobs are and how much they jiggle. And, like, if that's what you're in for, like, if that is your interest in this game, have you heard of porn?
They have.
It exists. And if you're interested in a particular video game character and you want them to have really absurdly huge tits, like, it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
I personally, like, very nearly guarantee it. But just, like, people being disappointed in shit because it's not what they hope for, one of three things can happen. They can handle it like an adult and, wait for something that is their speed. They can, handle it like an adult and, expand their horizons and try it out and maybe like it. Or they can be a bitter diaper baby and just shit on everything all over all the time, constantly. And especially in the nerd communities, I think we suffer a lot from the inability to tell each other to shut the fuck up and be grown-ups and to not be toxic. We suffer, I think, a lot more from toxicity than perhaps other communities, because any kind of commentary about someone's personality, the way they behave, starts to feel like bullying. And since a lot of us were bullied, and many of us have founded our community families and our friendship circles and everything on the idea of escaping bullying, it means that telling someone that they have to change or telling someone that what they're doing is bad, is socially awkward or whatever, to them, feels like, you know, harkens back to them, you know, being wedgied in gym class or whatever. But I submit.
No,
that
I think that's.
Tell you.
I was about to say that's a really good point. The feeling of being bullied, or the feeling of being dismissed,
mm-hmm.
Which is. Allow me to get pedantic for a moment.
On this podcast, no.
I know, right? I apologize. I know it's not typically what we do. But feeling bullied is not actually a feeling. Feeling dismissed is not actually a feeling. What it is it's a step removed from a feeling. It's more of a belief. I believe I'm being bullied. So I feel like I'm being bullied, which may or may not actually be the case, right? It's a belief that it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm being dismissed. Well, that's not necessarily, you know, maybe somebody hasn't responded in the way you want, or maybe they just didn't hear you, or maybe they're dismissing you. Like, whatever. but that there's a thing about feelings versus beliefs that our English language has a really hard time with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard because we continually say that feelings are valid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are. Feelings are going to happen, but feelings are not beliefs. And
right.
that things get really conflated in there. And so you've got people that feel like they're getting bullied, believing that to be valid because feelings are valid, but that's not what's happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a belief in what's happening. And so they feel justified in that belief that they take to be a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, howdy, is that complicated. But I think that's one of the reasons why we get some of this. It's kind of to piggyback on what you were saying, James, is that like we have people that feel like they're being bullied and they believe that that's valid. And I mean, what happens when you're getting bullied? You get defensive. You get, you attack back, out of defense, right?
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm cold. You get to defend yourself, but nobody was attacking you in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So now you just look like an asshole. Like, and maybe you are one. I don't know, but you look like one, and that's awkward. It kind of perpetuates like that.
Yeah. Well, and especially because many of us have been subject to very real, very measurable bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever we get that same feeling that leads us to the conclusion of that we are being bullied or that we have been bullied,
mm-hmm.
So I had a friend, no longer, but had a friend who was extraordinarily toxic and I insisted on everything going his way or everyone was going to have a bad time. And that it was apparent that any dissension would lead him to behave defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And a lot of the toxicity that I see in the fandoms now I saw in his behavior, as well as a lot of the stuff that we usually associate with people who are incels, people who are, you know, closet racists, people who are, you know, all of these other things, because they come to the conclusion that they are being bullied.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and with fandom, with Salsa's hockey games, I think it's probably not far from the mark that they believe that they are the hero of this.
Right.
That they believe that they're doing justice by bitching and moaning on the comments.
There's also another aspect to this, which is a victim blame kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, if you didn't want to have things, people say disparaging things about you, maybe you shouldn't be in hockey. Mm. Maybe you shouldn't be in the limelight.
Right.
We do this all the time with like movie stars and everything else. And we're just like, well, yeah, but what did you expect?
Yeah,
that's a part of the industry.
That's gross as well, but
it's so gross. But it's also another thing that feeds into this toxic fandom thing. Mm. You know? If you put yourself out there, you should expect for people to knock you down. And it's just this way of justifying behavior that is disgusting.
Well, dear listeners, weigh in. Go to the comment section of this episode on Facebook and let us know what you think about all of this nonsense.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
I mean, you could literally post things to LiveJournal and no one would read it.
That is fair and accurate.
You could also post to this podcast and no one would listen to it.
Rude.
But we're back. I'm Salsa.
But also accurate.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And we're talking to the void. Maybe
never
perhaps.
Gonna get perky out of you
maybe
guys.
Maybe perhaps the void. This is perky, Jenna.
We talk to the void. The void talks back.
You know what else the void says back is a Fast Five.
Fast Five! What?
No one knows.
Nope.
Okay.
The void has
we
spoken.
Just let that one go.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Today's Fast the Five comes says. To us from James.
Yay, James.
All right. So, Fast Five. Question number one. One or zero?
Zero.
Okay.
One. Singular sensation.
Is the loneliest number.
No, singular sensation.
Ah, fair enough.
One.
My mistake.
Singular sensation.
Alright. Question number two. Bright or dark?
Dark.
Dark.
For myself, I probably will pick dark. So...
If this is talking about the various looks for things like Facebook, the bright or the dark look. The dark, absolutely.
Dark, yeah. Oh,
super agree.
Yeah.
Question number three. Glass or wooden?
Wood.
Hmm.
I'd have a wooden eye.
Oh.
I lost my real one.
I'm going to go glass.
I would also like to inform the audience that drinking the cider out of a leather mug does take the already excellent flavor and make it even better.
Who knew it was even possible?
The purveyors of fine leather mugs, that's who.
That's
true.
Fair. Yeah.
I am also going to choose wooden. Okay.
All right.
Question number four. Glasses or sunglasses?
Glasses.
I would rather drink whiskey out of glasses than sunglasses.
Damn it.
I spend more time paying attention to the fashion of my glasses than I do my sunglasses. My sunglasses are purely for getting the goddamn job done.
My sunglasses clip on.
I've got the transitions.
Ooh. Look at you, Mr. Fashion and Function.
I don't want to have to change glasses.
Or lazy, whatever.
There you go.
I used to do that until working out at Fest, it was no longer practical.
I have a second pair of glasses that are not transitions. They're the wireframe ones that are just the glass.
Nice.
But my plastic frame ones, which I also don't wear at Fest, the plastic frame ones are transitions.
Question number five. Square or circle?
Circle gets the square, so circle.
Ooh.
Square.
Okay. I think I am also going to choose square. All right. So, the context.
Yes.
Question number one.
Yes.
One or zero. Do you feel like there is a difference and advantage to either using physical dice or virtual dice, or do you think there's no difference?
So which is which?
One is that you think that there is a difference between physical and virtual dice and you have a preference.
I see.
Or zero is that there is no difference. And you would use whatever you have handy.
I mean, there is a difference, objectively. You know,
if there wasn't a difference, we wouldn't have different terms.
Right.
One
is, you know, an algorithm, and one is...
But in particular, that there would be an advantage.
If there's an advantage, no. Unless it's a really shitty algorithm. But
or a loaded dice.
An advantage, no. Do I have a preference? Absolutely.
And that would be for the real ones,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, totally. The tactile, the ability to roll.
Mm-hmm.
The false feeling of control. Totally down for that.
I think it's the tactile. Yeah. Tactile for me. It's being able to hold them and play with them and fidget with them.
Fondle them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For me, it's partially tactile, being able to fondle them. But then the other thing is that I do believe in luck. And for reason, that superstition is more difficult to extend to a virtual die that ceases to exist, that is created the moment that it is rolled and that ceases to exist the moment it is done. It is harder for me to feel like I will have good luck from electronic dice.
I mean, I will concede that there is such a thing as luck, but whether there is good luck or bad luck, and whether you can alter it in any way, shape, or form, is not. But luck is a thing. Just like we were talking about earlier with that mug, it was pure luck that I ended up with the exact same one. There's no, but it was
for you, luck is a...
It wasn't good luck or bad luck, it was just that intangible...
Yeah, luck for you is retrospective versus for people who are superstitious, like myself.
Yeah, no.
Luck is preventative.
No.
Or,
like,
yeah.
Here's the thing.
Prescriptive.
I mostly agree with Salsa, which makes me a little sick on the inside, but I'll get over it.
I feel like that's been happening more and more recently, a lot lately, which means, Janet, James, you really need to step up here. She's been siding with me a lot more recently. James, what the fuck?
I mostly luck is luck, and it just kind of happens. On the flip side, I feel like there are things that you can do to encourage a more positive outcome with your luck. Generally, being a pleasant person might get you better reactions to whatever kind of stuff. I still feel like luck is luck, but I'm also still just superstitious as a matter of tradition. Rather than thinking it's going to do anything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to say the Scottish play on stage.
Sure.
Not because I think it'll actually affect anything,
right.
But it's a part of the subculture. It's a part of the tradition. And there's something very pretty about that in a very weird, fucked up kind of way. But theater's weird and fucked up. So there you go. So. I mostly agree with Salsa.
Theater is a construct.
You're a construct. I mostly agree with Salsa, but yeah.
I
caveat on that.
Yeah, it's not a... There's a lot of philosophical depth that we can get into on this one, so let's leave it where it is.
Aww.
Yeah. Question number two, context, bright or dark. If you are up late gaming and browsing, do you prefer the screen to be your only light, screen or screens to be your only light, or do you prefer to have a light on in the background?
Well, my wife would be sleeping next to me, so light off.
Generally, I prefer a light on just to reduce strain. I'm getting old. Don't tell my daughter that. She refuses to believe it, but it's true.
Yeah. I find that when I am awake and browsing or playing games or things like that, that I now prefer to have a light on, but I... Especially, like, when I was young, I used to fall asleep to the glow of the monitors. I would, like, very purposely...
When you were young?
...stay awake and on the internet. Yeah. So.
Also, like, my mom used to fall asleep to watching the TV all the time, and she was kind of a cranky individual, so I don't really have good associations with that.
Fair enough.
Yep.
But that's a personal thing.
All right. Question number three, context. Glass or wooden? Given the choice of, for the rest of your life, mixing only with a choice of 7-Up or Sprite, or, which is your glass choice, or, on the other side, mixing only with root beer or birch beer. Which one of the two would you choose?
Wood.
mixing? Like mixing drinks?
Yeah, so mixing drinks. So your drinks can only contain a lemon, lime, sparkling, clear drink, or include a root beer, birch beer.
I think I'm going to have to go glass. I feel like there's more stuff that you can mix with the lemon lime bubblies.
You can still drink the other one straight. You just can't mix with it. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay. In that
but
case,
you have to choose one pair to be your mixers.
Okay. In that case, I'm going glass. As long as I can still drink birch beer.
Agreed. Jesus Christ, I am agreeing with you a lot. It's weirding me out.
Seriously, James, step it up.
Gross.
God.
I would choose root beer or birch beer because I prefer the mixers that I would make with that. All right, question number four, glasses or sunglasses? When looking at porn on the internet, do you browse in regular mode or in incognito mode that shows the little sunglasses?
I see. If you are not surfing incognito, what the hell are you even doing with your life?
Yeah, I know. Seems obvious to me.
Yeah.
Is
this one supposed to be tricky? It wasn't to me.
Some people feel very vehemently in the other direction. I am not one of them.
For what reason?
Well, because friends who have talked about this with me have said that they don't really give a shit, that their computer is their own, that they hide their browsing habits by using a VPN, and that anybody that they trust enough to leave alone with their computer, they would trust enough to know what their browsing habits are. That they have no reason to hide their porn searches or anything.
Here's
like
the
that.
Problem. I have fixed a variety of computers for people over the years.
Mm-hmm.
For people that I grew up with. For people that I look to as a parental figure in my life. I didn't want to see those browsing histories.
No.
So really, incognito is what you do for other people.
Fair enough. It is the mask that you place over the nose and mouth of your internet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It doesn't protect you. It keeps other people from getting what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. For me, the practical application is that if I'm sharing my screen with someone and I go to type something into the Googles, that it doesn't try to complete the phrase for me with something that I've searched for. So there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last question, question number five, square or circle? Do you prefer to play video games with a keyboard and mouse or with a controller? Square being
we've talked about this before. It depends on the kind of game.
It really depends on the game, yeah.
Well, but that also then lends itself to the question of the type of games that you play most often. Do you tend to prefer the ones that are played with keyboard and mouse, or do you find yourself most often playing them with a controller?
I mostly play them on my phone, so touch screen.
Hmm.
She said as she was playing games on her phone.
Fair enough.
With neither a controller nor...
Right, but that's a third option, not one of the two.
Well... No, it depends on the game. If I'm doing a shoot 'em game, I generally prefer controllers.
Hmm. Interesting.
Whereas I'm exactly the opposite. For a first-person shooter, I want keyboard and mouse.
Hmm. Well, they do. I read an interesting article about the different ways that they handle the inputs in order to level the playing field between the two. For games like Halo.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I said, we've talked about this in the past, and it like a platformer is going to be with controller every time, but but like a first person shooter or a game like an MMO or something like that, that's going to be keyboard, something over the shoulder, like an Assassin's Creed will probably be controller.
Yeah, I suppose it depends on which first-person shooter I'm playing, because some of them I feel more comfortable with controller, and some of them I feel more comfortable with keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
Any game with a more complex system will probably benefit from keyboard, because then you've got hotkeys and things like that, but things with a fairly simple control scheme, you know, a jump or a... You know, jump and attack buttons are controllers, you know. But like, if you're playing World of Warcraft and you've got, you know, 17 task bars, then you wouldn't be able to do that with a controller.
Yeah.
So it really, I mean, I'll just stick with my original answer because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself playing the kinds of games that you would play with a controller more than the ones that you would play with a keyboard?
No, I don't. I play...
Neither nor?
Yeah.
Whatever the game calls for.
I kind of feel like James, I feel like you're looking for an actual answer.
Yeah.
No, this is what I do. And the answer is, I do not.
All right. I find that I tend to play a lot more games that can be played with a controller that are more controller intensive. Fighting games, racing games, things that don't lend themselves well to the type of input that you get from a keyboard and mouse. I only really play first-person shooters with friends at LAN parties. So,
sure.
Yeah. So I think I would choose Circle, that I tend to play controller games far more.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Is that all of them?
Yeah, I think that was five. Mm-hmm. If my count was correct. If you would like to send in a fast five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should include nothing but the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices. Who has a shout-out for this evening?
Oh,
the monkey.
Oh, pick me.
The monkey
pick
has
me.
A shout-out.
No, my brother's the monkey. Anyway, right? Okay. Yeah. I want to give a shout out to AAA Movers. They're the ones that did my move, and they were fantastic. Super courteous, super kind. I have no idea what it actually cost because Joe paid for it, but they were wonderful. Like, they were fantastic. They showed up, they're like, okay, what's going? They asked me all of the right questions. They got it done. They got it done in less time than they originally estimated, but not by much. Like, so it was like they made the under, but it was still a reasonable estimate.
Nice.
Yeah. Nope, they were fan fucking tastic.
Great.
So AAA Movers. Woo!
Fuck yeah. James?
I think that my shout out is going to be to friends of mine that are creating spaces for people to move in a very difficult time. And there are a lot of them. So it's hard to narrow it down, but they know who they are. And thank you. That's wonderful of you to make room for people when showing places and moving and everything else is dangerous and difficult. That is very giving of you.
I'm going to give him a shout out to everybody who made the whole mug thing happen. That includes Tracy and Eric Alanda, obviously, for selling his stuff, and Pat for bringing the mugs from all the way up north to the Twin Cities. All of you, thank you so much for making my wife's Christmas awesome, even though it's not even Christmas yet.
Yeah, very, very cool.
Yeah. Who's got something to plug? Cool. Who's got some final thoughts?
Nothing at the moment.
Bye, bye, I love you, bye.
In that case, thank you so very much for listening. Thank you, James, for giving us the Fast Five. As always, on behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.